But in the grand scheme of things, certainly when we get to heaven and we review, we look back over our life, the worst of trials, just a light affliction, just light. It's just momentary. It's just a little season. And it was working for you. And it was working for His glory in the middle of all of that. Amen. Never doubt it. Never doubt it. God knows what He's doing. Praise the name of the Lord. Can we do that tonight? Just give Him praise. Thank you, Lord. Lord, You work in our lives in so many wonderful ways. And sometimes, Lord, it's through light affliction, difficult trials. We go through different things, but Lord, You're so faithful. Lord, You're so faithful. And we thank You, Lord, that You're at work in every situation. Your name is being glorified. It's for our good. It's for Your glory, Lord. We thank You for it, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. To know that He's working in your life, working for your good and for His glory. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. Thank the Lord for His wonderful presence. Amen. John chapter 20 tonight. Let's look there for a few minutes. Gospel of John chapter 20 and verse 19. John 20 and 19. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when He had said so, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so even so send I you. And when he had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. I think it's really a wonderful thing when you read a text like this and you realize that in four verses, God reveals the big problem and provides the solution in four verses. He knew they were scared to death for fear of their life. And then He describes what's going on. Then He tells them, receive the Holy Ghost. The wind of the Spirit blows into that situation. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. The answer was the breath of God blowing into the middle of that situation to destroy the fear, to drive out the fear, and not only that, but to prepare them for the task that was ahead for them, a big job, a big responsibility to preach the gospel. Amen. The breath of God. Oh, how we need the breath of God. Amen. The breath of God is the answer to your needs. The answer to your problems. We do not know. You know, I didn't know how important that breath was until a few months ago when I couldn't get it. I couldn't get my breath. And weeks went by and I couldn't hardly breathe. I could only breathe sitting up in the bed. I would dread going to bed at night. By the way, I've always been a really good sleeper. Had no trouble sleeping. Just ask my wife. Because she would get aggravated at me because within about 20 seconds of my head touching the pillow, I'm out. And But I went through a few weeks and maybe months that I couldn't do that. And I literally had to set up completely in the bed. I propped pillows up against the headboard and set completely up in the bed. It's the only way I could breathe. And it's miserable. You know, your breath is so important. It really provides so much for you. My My O2, I really got up on all these medical terminology. My O2, my oxygen saturation, had dropped down in the 80s. It's supposed to be 95 and up, preferably 97 or 98. By the way, that's what it is now, 97 or 98. But a couple of months ago, it was in the 80s, which is dangerously low, and I couldn't get my breath. And I got up on that Sunday morning, and I was feeling really bad. I'd had several weeks of very little sleep, and I felt so bad and so weak. Your oxygen level affects your weakness. It affects everything about your bodily function. If you don't have breath, then you're really in trouble. You're really in trouble. And I couldn't breathe. And I came down here. I got up that morning, and I thought, well, I'm just going to get up like I normally do, get dressed, get ready, go down to the church, pray a while, get ready for the service. And I came down here about 6:30. By 7:30, I realized I wasn't going to be able to make it through the day. I wasn't going to be able to do this. I didn't have enough breath, enough air, and I was weak. And so about 7:30, I text Greg and I said, I hope you got something on the back burner and can preach this morning, because I can't. I don't have it. I literally drove around to the front of the house and pulled my car up to those front steps so that my wife could come out and help me up those steps and get me inside the house, because my strength was gone, my oxygen was gone, my breath was gone. Well, when I went to the hospital, then I found out that the reason it was gone is because I had all this fluid that had accumulated in that little cavity around your lung, not in my lung, but in the cavity, and it had so compressed my lung that I was not getting hardly any air. I was in trouble. So they took a needle about that long, and they went into my back. And a little girl that was about, I don't know, she looked tiny to me, that stabbed me in the back. But actually, she said, it's not going to be painful. It's not going to hurt. And it really wasn't too bad, to be honest with you, because I was pretty fearful. But she went in and she said, as I go in, I'm medicating. As I'm going in, little by little, I'm medicating, and I'm going to get that fluid. She took a liter of fluid off my lung. The next day when the doctor came in and looked at it, he said, more fluid, we got to do more. Took 2 more liters of fluid. You know, just imagine that now. You know how big a 2-liter bottle of Coke is. This was 2 liters and another liter. It's a lot of fluid. And when they took all that fluid off of me, the sleep that I hadn't had for weeks and weeks, suddenly I had it and I just died. I just literally crashed and slept for hours and hours and hours and hours. People came in to see me, and I could hardly even focus on the fact that they were there, because I hadn't had sleep and I needed it and I was getting it. Because finally, I could breathe. Finally, there is something about this wonderful, life-giving breath. Amen. Praise God. We use the terminology a lot of times. Get the breath knocked out of you. Have you ever had that happen to you before? I remember when our girls were little, and Erica and the girls were like riding bicycles out in the front of the house, and one of the girls ran in and said, come quick, come quick. And so we go out there, and Erica is like laying on the ground. She'd wrecked her bike, and the handlebars had whacked her in the stomach and literally knocked all the breath out of her, as she couldn't get her breath for a little bit there. That's pretty frightening. It's pretty frightening. That's what had happened to these disciples. They were so afraid. They had been a follower of Jesus, and he was gone now. They thought he was gone. He was crucified and gone, and all of their hope was gone for the future, and they believed that the Jews were going to come after them. So they had found themselves a hiding place, and they were in hiding that evening. They were in hiding. The door was shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. came Jesus into their midst. Isn't it wonderful? When Jesus steps into the situation, saying, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had thus breathed on them, he said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Praise God. The breath of God. The breath of God. They had the breath of God taken out of them for fear. Matter of fact, they'll say if they hyperventilate, it's because they're fearful and they're trying to get their breath, and they try to suck air too quickly and too much, and so they hyperventilate. And usually someone will say to them, "Calm down, just breathe. Just breathe." And once they can kind of get their wits about them and they can just get their breath, then they can be revived again. Praise God. Well, every Christian needs the breath of God in them. They need the Lord to breathe on us. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs him to breathe upon us, to pour his Spirit out upon us and bring life back into our walk with God, back into our spiritual lives. We need the breath of God in us. I don't know, your trouble, your problems, your worries, some of the things that you've been hit with may have knocked the breath out of you, and you're just barely surviving, and you need the breath of God to blow into your situation. The Bible says in Genesis that God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. So he was alive. He was physically alive, and he was eternally alive because he became a soul that would live on for all of eternity. So the breath of God has power to give life and power to even give eternal life. The breath of God, that is powerful. Praise God. And with this breath of God, he provides what we need. He gives to us life, spiritual life, and he gives to us spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding. Remember there in the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration. The word literally means just the God breathed. God, it's the breath of God. The inspiration was the breath of God. So when we read the scripture, we teach it, we preach it, it is the breath of God. All scripture, all truth is breathed from God. It's life-giving. It has the power to give life. It has the power. All scripture is given by inspiration, or the breath of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the breath of God has creative power. It has dynamic power. It has supernatural power. And it has it reveals the truth of God. When the breath of God is blowing, people talk about, well, what we need is we need to make sure we have the preaching of the Word of God, because the move of the Holy Ghost might take away from the preaching, or the preaching might take away from the Holy Ghost. Big mistake. Not true. Not true at all. They complement one another. They complement one another. The preaching of the Word, it's God breathed. And when the Spirit of God moves on you and moves in our lives and moves in our service, when we are anointed of the Holy Ghost, when the Spirit of God comes by, then it's also the work of the breath of God. The breath of God blows into your life. Amen. Brings truth, reveals truth, gives doctrine, reproof, instruction in righteousness. Psalm 33. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. All of creation, man was created, and was the breath of life was breathed upon him. But it was the breath of God, as it was God's word spoken. Verse 9 of Psalm 33, for he spake and it was done. His word, you know that you can't speak without breath. You can't. If your breath is gone, you're ability to speak is gone. You have to have breath. And if you heard me a couple months ago on the radio, I was doing my little part that I do, and I was trying to talk and trying to get my breath at the same time, because you have to have breath if you're going to be able to speak. When God spoke, amen, the word of the Lord came forth and the heavens were made. It says, Psalm 33, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake and it was done. The breath of God. He spoke and everything came into existence. When he spoke, then there was creation and all of life. And even all of light and darkness and day. And everything that existed came by the word of his mouth. By the breath of God. Hallelujah. So we need the breath of God. We need the blowing of God's Holy Spirit into our lives and into our church and into everything that we attempt to do for God, because without it we're going to be lifeless. We're not going to have what we need. The Holy Ghost makes the truth. It gives the truth its punch. Amen. There's a lot of people in the world that are Bible readers. There's a lot of secular people and people that don't even believe in God who read the Bible. But it's the Spirit of God. It is the Holy Ghost of God that gives the Word of God its power, its emphasis, its punch. When the Word of God goes forth, the breath of God has power. It's dynamic. It's supernatural. It reveals truth. And it is creative. Whenever God's Word is spoken, it has supernatural power to bring about change in the lives of people. We need the breath of God. Oh, how we need the breath of God. And here's what's amazing. It's all in his hands. Every bit of it is in his hands. Job says, Job 12 and 10, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? It's in his hand. Amen. And when you breathe your last breath, God has given it to you. Amen. People talk about, well, I mean, I'm talking about secular people, worldly people. They'll say, you know, it's not God. I do what I do because of my intellect. I do what I do because of my education. I do what I do because of my own natural abilities. Not so. Not so. Anything you're able to do is because God has empowered you and he's given you your next breath that's coming. That came from God. Amen. God gave that to you. God gave you the breath. It's all in his hands. And as I've already said, it has creative power, supernatural power. It has revelation power to reveal truth, to reveal his word, and to speak directly into your life and into the lives of everyone that's in this world. If they'll hear the word of the Lord, there's the potential for life. Amen. To be spoken unto them. Remember the story in Ezekiel 37. And I used this story when I preached out at OBI. Ezekiel had six different visions. And in this vision that he saw, he was taken up and set down in the middle of a valley. And it was a valley full of dry bones. And they were very dry, it says. Really, that valley of dry bones was a depiction of the condition of Israel. It revealed the mess they were in. They were dead. They were lifeless. They had rejected God and they'd faced the judgment of God. And so when the Lord picked Ezekiel up and set him down in that valley, he said, here's the nation of Israel. They're not just dead, they're dried up in the sun. And really, it was a picture of hopelessness, wasn't it? It was a picture of hopelessness. No way this army could ever come back to life. You know that the breath of God can revive the hard cases. The cases that are beyond hope, past hope. The breath of God can blow upon the individuals that you have already categorized them as they can't be reached. They're too hard. Or that case or that situation, it's too far gone. Or they're too far gone. It's too impossible. That's what Ezekiel 37 is a picture of. It is a picture of a hopeless circumstance. It caused him to pass around about that valley. There were many, very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. And then he said, Son of man, can these bones live? And he said, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. That was the only hope for them. That was the only hope, was wind from heaven. Wind from heaven. The only hope for Israel was the mighty Spirit of God to blow upon them. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I'll lay sinews upon you, and flesh will come on you, and cover your skin, and you can get the mental image in your mind that suddenly the muscles there, the sinews are there, the body's coming back to its, and the dead, dry bones are no longer in that condition. All it took was the breath of God. Those disciples were fearful, hiding for their life, and they had literally given up hope because Jesus was their hope, and he had been crucified, and he was gone, and they didn't have any hope, and they were just trying to survive. And now Jesus steps on the scene and breathed on them, and the Holy Ghost came into that place as he said, as he breathed upon them and said, Receive you the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he said, Prophesy, and he prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and a shaking. The bones came together, bone to his bone. And behold, the sinews, the flesh came upon them. The skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. It doesn't matter. I mean, they had, everything was coming back together. If you can imagine this, this was an army that had been dead in a valley for a long time. Long enough that all the flesh was gone off the bones, and the bones had been bleached out in the sun. Hopeless. It's so hopeless. But then when breath has come upon those dry bones, and suddenly everything comes back into place. The bodies are back in place. I mean, if the bones have been scattered across that valley, they miraculously, there was a great noise. I mean, bones coming from here and there, and they all came to the right place, to the right person, and everything's coming together, and flesh is coming up on them, and they're still dead. They're still dead. There was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath came unto them, and they lived, stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Praise God. Amen. What did that? It was the breath of God. It was the breath of God that when the breath of God blows upon an impossible, hopeless situation, things can happen. Amen. Oh, we need to pray for our loved ones and our family members that have said no to God for years and years and years. They're not just hard-hearted. I mean, their heart is just bleached out in the sun. They are a hopeless case. There's no hope for them except the wind of the Spirit. The wind of the Spirit can blow into any circumstance. It's not hindered by any situation. If we just make way for the Spirit of God to work and to breathe on us individually and as a church, breathe on us as a church. And when we do, then life and hopeless cases are revived. Hallelujah. Praise God. You got any impossible situations that you've been praying about? People that seem so hard and so disinterested in the things of God, and they've got the same mindset they've had for years and years and years, and you can't seem to break through that no matter what you say. The Holy Ghost can do that. The Holy Ghost can blow upon that impossible situation. Amen. Then in the book of Acts chapter 2, the church is born. The church is born in Acts chapter 2, and the Bible says that they were all sitting waiting in that upper room, and suddenly, a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, the Holy Ghost blew into that upper room where they were waiting and tarrying before the Lord, waiting in that upper room, and the wind of the Holy Ghost blew into that place. And those disciples of the Lord that had gone there in obedience to the Lord, they really didn't know what was next. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have a plan. They had no strategy. They just knew that they had a big task before them. It was the Holy Ghost that equipped them. It was the Holy Ghost that empowered them, that changed them, that gave them what they needed. It turned a Peter into a bold man of God that day when he stood up to preach the gospel. And this was the guy that was denying the Lord not too long before. This is the guy that made many blunderers and many failures. But yet on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost breathed upon Peter and breathed upon those disciples, and they were changed, and the church was born. Now the same breath that caused that church to be born is what causes the church to be able to exist today. Amen. Other than that, then we're just religion. We're just formality. It's just, there's nothing there. There's no real life that's there. But when the breath of God really breathes, then we're going back to our roots, because that's how we were born. The church was born by the Holy Ghost, and the church exists today by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And everything we do, our preaching, our teaching, our ministry, our outreach, everything that we attempt to do, if it's without the Spirit, then it is dead, lifeless, ineffective. We need the breath of God to blow upon us once again. What he was saying to those disciples, I'm going to breathe on you and you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, then you are going to be equipped to do what I have called you to do. He had told them to wait there because he knew that none of their... And as a matter of fact, it wasn't but just a couple of chapters over from Acts chapter 2 that it was, I believe it was the court, Sanhedrin court, that had arrested them. And basically they just said, these men are ignorant and unlearned. And they were amazed at their power, amazed at their ability to communicate the gospel, amazed at what they were doing, because they did not have normal, just natural ability, natural qualifications. They were ignorant. They were unlearned. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They weren't qualified to do what they were called to do, but the Holy Ghost qualified them. The Holy Ghost empowered them and breathed upon them, and their lives became alive, powerful, anointed, mightily used of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Breathe on us, Lord. Breathe on us here, right here at this church, at this location. Breathe upon your people. Stir our hearts, Lord, and breathe upon us the power of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One more thing I'll refer you to, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Remember this, Paul to Timothy said, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. This is Paul writing to Timothy, and here is what he's saying to them. Make sure that you give good attention to my friend Onesiphorus, because he often would come to me, and when he did, he was like a breath of fresh air. Amen. Praise God. He would often refresh me. He wasn't ashamed of my chain. He came to Rome. He sought me out very diligently and found me. And every time that he did, he was like a breath of fresh air. Amen. You know what that is? Amen. It was just when he would come to visit, he was full of the Spirit of God. And here is Paul in prison, no doubt, you know, going through a trying time in a prison situation and really needing some help. And when this friend would come, he was a breath of fresh air. Amen. I believe we need the breath of God in us because there's a lot of people around us and in our world that they need help. They need help from God. And when you come to them, don't be discouraging to them. Don't be hopeless or defeated to them. When you come to those that are down and out, defeated, discouraged in this world around us, be like a fresh breath of fresh air to them. Amen. Amen. When you come into their presence, just help them and encourage them and let the Lord use you to inspire them and to bless their life. Amen. That's Holy Ghost living in practical terms. Amen. Every day of our life. Amen. God's Holy Spirit working in us and blowing through us. Amen. Oh, how we need the breath of God. Oh, how we need the breath of God to blow upon his people. Praise the name of the Lord. All across this land, there's a lot of churches, a lot of religious things going on. And I understand God has a lot of different ways to move, and I'm grateful for that. But I want you to know what really will bring hope and life into every situation is the working, the moving, the blowing of the wind of the Spirit of God will make all the difference. Yes, it will. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, right here among us in this local church, Lord, breathe upon us. Every mother and father, every man and woman, every young person, every one of us, Lord, breath of God, breathe upon us. Otherwise, we're lifeless. We're dead. We have nothing to offer to the world. Breathe upon us, Lord, because we need to know your word. We need to understand it. We need to realize, Lord, that you are revealing yourself to us through the power of your word. Lord, we need your presence, your anointing, Lord, to give us power to carry on the work, to do the work of the ministry that you've called us to, Lord. Anoint us with your Spirit. Anoint us, Lord, with your mighty power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Now, one of the things that the doctors told me to do before I left the hospital, they said, now, when you lay down at night, lay down on the bed and take 10 deep breaths, as deep as you can take them. And if I don't forget, if I don't go to sleep too fast, that's what I do. I couldn't do that a couple months ago, but I can do it now. Praise God. Amen. Thank God. Thank God that we can be strong in the Spirit if we'll allow God to breathe in us. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't need to veer away from this, folks. A lot of things we can do in the church, but nothing's more important than us as Pentecostals to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled with the power of the Spirit of God so that we can carry on what God is wanting us to do. It's amazing to me, but there's a lot of people, even outside of what we would say Pentecostalism, there's a lot of people that are recognizing that there's something they need, something more that they need for these last day challenges. Amen. So let's believe God to fill us with his Holy Ghost, from the young ones to the youth to everybody, every adult, no matter what your age, be filled with the Spirit. Praise the name.